Welcome to the world of peace, love, and homicide, brought to you by the Broadcast and Communications Department of Dominican University. I'm your host, Bloody Cowboy, and we will be delving into the many distinguishing features of America in the 70s and 80s, particularly the prevalent serial killing. What was it about that time period that inspired over 1,000 mentally ill people to murder in such an abominable manner? What motivated serial killers like Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer to commit such atrocities? And why has this trend of serial murder declined in our day and age? I'll give my response to all those questions and more on this session of Peace, Love, and Homicide. The world is your oyster when it comes to 70s and 80s trends. Bell bottoms, platforms, and high-waisted jeans, the scene was absolutely dominated by tie-dye and feathered hair and afros. Fashion in the 1970s reflected the decade's social attitude. Traditionalism was out and self-expression was in. Disco arrived in the 70s, armed with keyboards and drum machines and sugary lyrics, and also long dance breaks. Artists like the Bee Gees, ABBA, and Donna Summer sang their way into the hearts of Americans. But one trend we don't usually consider is the drastic fad of serial killing that seemed to erupt in the 70s, yet die down in the 2000s. In this episode of Peace, Love, and Homicide, we'll go over the fundamentals of serial killers and their crimes in the 70s and the 80s, so please stay tuned. If the 60s helped spread a message of peace in America, the 70s brought the exact opposite, fear. Basically owning the newspaper headlines, John Wayne Gacy and David Berkowitz are a prime example of the dark shift. From 1972 to 78, John Wayne Gacy murdered 33 young men and boys in suburban Chicago. He was dubbed the Killer Clown because he frequently dressed up as a clown for fundraisers and children's parties. In New York City, David Berkowitz, also known as the Son of Sam, killed 6 people and injured 7 others. Before he was apprehended in 1977, he sent several taunting letters to police. Initially, he claimed to be carrying out the commands of a demon disguised as his neighbor's dog. The most prolific serial killer at the time, Ted Bundy, confessed to 36 killings of young women across several states in the 70s, but experts believe that the final tally may be closer to 100 or more. The exact number of women Ted Bundy killed will never be known. His killings usually followed a gruesome pattern. He often raped his victims before beating them to death. Bundy instilled fear in all women across the East Coast, and completely understandably. If I were living during this killing reign, I'd dress like a man and I wouldn't leave the house without a weapon. In the 70s was a time of remarkable revolution. Everyone practically just got back from the summer of love in 67, and the music was still just as intense as the politics. However, some troubled souls took the wrong turn to Woodstock and ended up walking down the dark path of a serial killer. On the other hand, the 1980s saw the rise of some of America's most prolific serial killers, including Jeffrey Dahmer and Rich Ramirez. The latter, also known as the Night Stalker, was part of a growing public concern about Satanism, the occult, and other elements of underground culture that many saw as dangerous and violent. While satanic worship appears to have been a false concern in general, some combination factors did certainly lead to this decade being one of the deadliest, with some of the most shocking and infamous crimes of the 1980s setting the standard for horrific crimes committed throughout history. Richard Ramirez was an intense serial killer in the United States. In the Los Angeles and San Francisco areas, he was convicted of 13 counts of first-degree murder. The severity of his crimes combined with the complete lack of remorse or humanity in court resulted in his death sentence on 13 counts. Ramirez's self-proclaimed Satanism contributed to the Night Stalker murders becoming some of the most infamous crimes of the 80s. This widely publicized killing spree contributed to the Satan panic that dominated the nation on this decade. Jeffrey Dahmer, on the other hand, committed some of the most heinous crimes in recorded history. As if raping and murdering and dismembering 17 young men and boys wasn't enough, Dahmer also cannibalized a number of them, including filleting one of his victims' hearts. Personally, I'm most interested in Jeffrey, Ted, and Richard. Their devotion and viciousness in their crimes is disgustingly fascinating. How could someone commit such heinous acts and sleep at night knowing they utterly destroyed their victims' lives and the lives of their families? Here at Dominican, I hope to one day understand the science behind the murderous mind. But for now, I'm stuck with my uneasy thoughts and feelings about why such horrors occurred in America in such a short period of time. The 70s were a time of social gatherings and happiness. There were groups of people who met regularly in parks to play chess and listen to free outdoor concerts in the summer. And there was church meetings and community centers and all that good stuff. And the 80s were a jitterier, more fast, more affluent, less organized, more expensive, and more ill-focused version of the 70s. Yet, they were both still filled with light, love, dancing, and colors. But sadly, hidden in these decades lies a painful and brutal spike of homicide amongst it all. Overall, it's been a pleasure going over some of the fundamentals on this episode of Peace, Love, and Homicide. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn why I believe serial killing increased during that same 25-year period of the 70s and the 80s.